Log Talk Radio.
Hello and how are you? This is Rob Rourke of Texas saying hi and howdy. Pardon me, I apologize. Well, we're going to talk about a couple of issues right now, and we're going to talk. You know, that's the idea. Issues. We're going to talk about issues that deal with the future of our children, the future, who are the future of this country. First area topic is going to be. I'm going to take my notes from what I called what was originally designed. One long opinion on a better America. And then I decided to change it into a few short opinions for a politically worried public. And of course, might be looked upon with a laugh or two, but here I go again. Education. I believe a couple of things. One is to take politics out of education. And two, let the states and the teachers and the classrooms actually be more responsible for education, the education of our children. How can we do that? Well, think of it this way. Well, right now I do not want to say anything derogatory about former President Carter. I think he is a great man and a great humanitarian. The one thing I disagreed with him was moving the Department of Education, making it a cabinet position, and taking it out of what was Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. I think if you look at it, it has become the biggest example of Washington red tape, Washington bureaucracy. Every time we have a new president elected, there's a new education agenda. You know, we're going K through 12, we're talking about. We could have one president for the first 8 years of our kids' lives, their first 8 years of education. That's, you know, K through 8. And then they spend the last 4 years under a new president, under a new administration, a new agenda. You know, we're talking about kids who think the achievement tests are a week of vacation. Teachers who talk about, and I'm quoting this from an old Houston Chronicle, dated March 1st, 2012. Anybody who tells you that they're not teaching the test is either a liar or a PE teacher. I'm running for Congress, and why am I talking about a thing that is easily an argument for states' rights? You know, there have been a lot of politicians disbelieve the idea of what to do with the Department of Education is to shut it down. Reagan was a part of that, but in his rationalization, and this is the part that makes sense, his reasoning behind it was, The education of our children is an issue of states' rights. Not the federal government, states' rights. So, me and my buddies who formed up Rob 2016 for Congress, we've been working on the idea of education reform both at a state level, formulating a plan that could work at either state level or expanded into federal. Well, this is what we came up with. We want to put the DOE back in and to what is now Health and Human Services. And once again, calling it Health, Education, and Welfare. I believe it will cut down on the bureaucracy. I frankly would love to make it just a separate department by itself, the Office of Education. But I think the proper path is to put it in back where it belongs in health and human services. You know, I have done a lot of research and I've been doing a lot of blogging and advocating on better, more things, reforms in education. And one of the things is that we don't need to change every policy, but we need to change some procedures. Instead of every 4 years or every new presidential election, as in a new president elected, we don't need a separate agenda, or we don't need an agenda for education. We don't need another set of bureaucracy, another set of laws for education. Every time we have a new administration, there's a new set of regulations. And then we also have the ones that are still in place. I think I cited something on my Facebook page, as it, much less on the blog, Rob Rourke of Texas, or ReportTexas, I mean, .com, is saying that the last of a couple of Washington State is not going to get funding because it didn't live up to No Child Left Behind. Well, we have No Child Left Behind lingering still, and now we're into Race to the Front and Common Core. Does Washington understand? I don't think they do. See, what we want to do is, like I said, put, for lack of better description, redefine the procedures of the Department of Education. Instead of cabinet position, back into what was HEW. Give them one objective. That is to build a single framework of education, a set of standards that can be passed on to the states. You know, Reagan talked about trickle-down economics. I guess the way I can spin this, or I want to say this, is calling it trickle-down education. The federal government, all they do is just set the standards and observe. And when needed, the states will follow our call for their help. But the idea is it goes from the federal government to the states, and from the State Board of Education to the local district, where the teachers in the classroom will have the final say on how their curriculum and how those standards are implemented. Not Washington, not Austin, but the teacher in the classroom. You know, the idea is they need to, let them teach and let them challenge our kids to be educated. Let them do that. Let our children learn. And as far as achievement tests, instead of every year, instead of taking time, even whether it's a rumor or not, I pay much, you can say it this way. You hear one person say, anyone who tells you they're not teaching the test is either a liar or a PE teacher. You know, one saying that. But when you have different sources, like, okay, in a court of law, they could be considered hearsay because they're being told through a third party. But when the parent of a child who happens to be a TV news broadcaster, says, my son thinks it's a week of vacation, when the week they're taking their achievement test, that's another source. That's another place where we should question Austin, Richmond, Baltimore, and other, Sacramento, California, Albany, New York. We should question there. We should question those legislators. But the point is, how can we change that? We can take less control out of the hands of Washington and let the states have more responsibility. Okay, here are your standards. We're going to watch. But here are your standards. You implement them. If you want to make adjustments, do it. But we're going to watch as long as you keep within this framework. we will not interfere. As a result, then the state board of education, state board of education of every state, will then say the school district the same thing, or should say the same thing. Then, from the state board of education to the school district, then the school district to the teacher, to your children who are students. You know, I have advocated for education reforms and hiring more teachers and easier ways to bring about certification of teachers. What experience have you had, Pete? Going K-12 at Galveston Independent School District, and experience with K-12 period. I've experienced all four sides of the teacher's desk, a student at Galveston Independent School District, K-12. I graduated from Ball High School, and proud to say it, 1977. And I worked my way through college as a substitute teacher. So there's two sides to the teacher's desk. As a parent, I have a daughter who I spent some time with as her parent, going to teacher's meetings and supporting her in school. As a PTA president, I took over a PTA at Will Rogers Intermediate in Fairfax, Virginia, or Fairfax County School District. And we got things done. I may not have been part of the in crowd, but we got things done. I advocated, well, when I took over, our state certification had lapsed. We needed to write a new charter. But by the time I got the information, got sorting through it, we were past due. I bought that PTA time from Richmond. We had a legislator's day in Richmond. I was there. My daughter went with me. And we talked to the different legislators. I said, we need changes. You know, point A, B, and C, we need changes. I've advocated for a lot of things. But difference between, and that's why I said, how many sides of the teacher's desk have you experienced, Pete? I've experienced all four as a student, as a parent, as an PTA advocate, and as a teacher, or an educator, part-time educator. If you want to be technical about it, I was a part-time educator. I've experienced all four sides of the teacher's desk. How many of you experienced, Pete? Where do you stand on education, Pete? Oh, I'm sorry, it's the Republican line of voucher system. School choice. That system has been considered at least problematic. At best, Pete. Do you have any ideas of your own, Pete? So, hey, let's talk about a different subject. When we talk about our kids, let's talk about them. And say it this way. From this perspective, I'm a divorced dad. And yes, I lost custody. And yeah, I lost custody. I was forced into a position of giving up my parental rights. I jumped through every hoop. And this is the part I don't feel is right. I want to give my ex-wife respect she deserves for the fact that she is the mother of our child. I just don't feel that the system is fair, and I think a lot of us divorced dads agree. But you know, there's also some misconceptions that are out there that we need to clear up. You know, a divorced dad that's trying Tuesday in the lives of their children is not a deadbeat. They are deadbeat dads that don't care. See you later. Bye. I'm out of here. And I'm not one of those. Neither are my associates. Those that I can call friends. We're not deadbeats. We want to stay in our children's lives. And I use this as a great example. And this is what, like I said, when I was sought custody, I jumped through every hoop. My ex-spouse was offered the same. She said no. And the courts didn't follow up. And she lost custody too. I want to respect her for the fact she's the mother of my child. We share a child together, and I want to respect her for that. My anger is against the system that I'll admit I was naive, because I believed in a system that, while blind, would be fair. Well, just on what I've said so far, I ask you, does that seem fair? And let me get that phone number. And we've got about 13 minutes left, but, you know, that phone number, and I hate to say this, the first time I even mentioned it, 718-664-9825. And if you want to shoot an email, that's Rob, R-O-B-B, at Rob, R-O-U-R-K-E, .us. So give me a shout-out, call me up, and let's see what hear what you have to say. So let me use this as an example. This is on a Facebook page. The group's called Dad's Kids, Dad's Rights. And I want to say, Terry Borum, my prayers are with you. And I hope you don't mind me using this. He starts at Prayer Warriors. I'm about to attend mediation of my children's custody, as well as property separation for divorce. I don't care about the property or any money, because all that can be replaced, and it isn't a necessity of life. I just pray that the kids will get what's fair to them, and that begins with both parents' lives equally. Here we go. Folks, that's the idea. That is the idea. And that's what I've advocated for in Austin. I talked with a number of legislators. Matter of fact, I was asked to give custody, or give test, not custody, give testimony before a committee on House Bill 2363, an Equal Parental Rights Act in Texas. I want to believe that with my help, my testimony, it passed. I was a contributing factor to it passing. And I believe that's what I believe in. I say it this way, as a candidate for Congress, yeah, I know this is an issue of states' rights, but there are things that the federal level can be done to help influence a change in the states, in the family court system of this country. Through the Title 4D of the Social Security Act, there are points of reference that can be changed, as in the taxing of child support payments. Right now, custodial parent gets a deduction of $3,950. The non-custodial parent does not get a benefit of that. And if someone wants to say, what's wrong with that? I say what's wrong with that is because we're looking at an idea of what's fairness, what's in the best interest of the children. And that's something else that the courts seem to have forgotten. So let me finish my thought on say the two things I want to say about this. One is to do a 50-50 split of the deduction, as in each side gets 50. To take the 39.50, each custodial and non-custodial parent can deduct 50% of that amount, as in roughly comes out to $1,975 deduction on their income tax. Which means you pay less taxes, folks. There's a cut in tax. There's a tax cut there. Think about that. I'm proposing a tax cut. If you want to be that blunt, yeah, I'm proposing a tax cut. I'm proposing a tax cut that could, that will benefit our children and is in the best interest of our children. And the courts need to see things like this. The courts need to come back to the idea, and the legislators need to come back to the idea of making changes in the court system when they determine custody. And that is to let the, and that is for the federal government to start indicating that there's a change of opinion in Washington. Change of ideas. And a way, change the way things to think about. That's what we need to do. That's where I stand, Pete. Where do you stand? You know, this is something of family values. This is a tax cut. This is the idea of doing something for our children. Where do you stand, Pete? We're talking about the next generation. We're talking about a better way of educating, a better way of challenging our students, our children to learn. Give to them some, you know, the idea is we want to leave them a better world. So let's leave them that better world, Pete. And to the people out there, I say, let's give them that better world. Let's give them that better world by challenging them in the classroom to think, not to use calculators. You know, I think most of us can agree or remember, I don't want to say fondly, but when we went K through 12, studying our multiplication tables, we didn't have calculators. Do our kids now need to have access to calculators in elementary school to learn our multiplication tables? Folks, to the parents out there, can you honestly tell me that your children with a calculator in their hands is learning how to go and figure out a simple multiplication problem like 9 times 7? Answer that and tell me we don't need changes in education. Answer that when we challenge them how to figure out a route that they can understand to multiply two numbers that come up to 63. And I use that 9 times 7 in this example. I was substituting at an elementary school in Galveston, and I was kind of a roving instructor. I would help students who had problems with things like math. I didn't have a calculator with me, and frankly, I didn't think about using my phone, but that's not the point. I had a little African-American child, little boy, for the life of him. He could not understand what 9 times 7 equaled. So I just kind of thought momentarily, and I said, you know, why don't you think about a way and I'll think about a way. Well, he couldn't come up with anything, but I did. I asked him, how many points is a touchdown with a point after? And he said 7. Okay. I said, let's count 9 sevens then. And I went 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 56, 63. Put it on the chalkboard. You know, did it that way on the chalkboard. And I said, count the number of sevens. And he counted and it dawned on me, it was nine. I said, so 9 times 7 is 63. But he did most of the counting. He did most of the figuring out. Most of the multiplication by himself without a calculator. And the look on his face. I will remember to my dying day. That big, broad, Jimmy Carter-like smile. That's the best moment I ever had as a teacher. It's that smile on that little child's face. And I think that's the idea of the teachers out there. They want to teach. They want to understand, and they want to see our kids grow with knowledge. You know, I have heard of reports that say our education levels are dwindling, are going down. We need to be number one again. And, you know, we can talk about, everyone has an opinion on a better America. And I've said this a number of times. You have the right to voice that opinion. That's what it says in the Constitution. But the thing is, we've got to narrow that down, narrow that focus even more. Where do I stand on education versus where Pete Olson stands on education? Is there common ground there? It's our children and their ability to learn. It's on the idea of having better teachers to challenge our students to learn. It's on our children to want to learn and feel challenged. That's what we need. And it's the support of both mother and father, custodial and non-custodial parents, for them to feel loved and respected. I grew up in a divorce home. My brother and I, well, we had differences of opinion. My grandmother was a very dominant factor in our lives. And there were things I missed out on. Things he missed out on. You know, I got a chance to reconcile with my father. He didn't want to. Where I may disagree. Sorry about that. Where I disagree with him on that, he should have taken the chance. But that's not my night. See, the thing is, that's his right to voice his opinion on that. Not mine. I got to respect that. He's going to voice that opinion. But, hey, I just got the 90-second mark. We'll be back Saturday, a rehash Saturday. We'll talk about things. But I just want to send a quick shout-out to my favorite shortcake in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Thank you. In the Commonwealth of Virginia, shortcake, Papa Rob loves you. Please don't ever forget that. And to the rest of you out there, it looks like it's going to be an interesting day. I think there's possibly a chance of rain, but hey, let's hope not. I want to get out on my bike and ride a bit. But hey, the thing is, go and have a good day. Go and enjoy the day. If you got the day off, got something to do, go for a ride. Go do the laundry. Go to the front lawn. But just enjoy the day. So as we close out Rob Rourke of Texas once again, I just want to say, I will check you all later. See you soon. Bye.